Have you ever noticed that the only people on the planet who want to get older are kids? Right? I mean, if you're less than 10 years old, you're excited about aging so much so that you age in fractions. If you ask a four-year-old, how old are you? She's not four, she's four and a half, right? And if they're four and a half, they're four and a half gone on five. You'll never hear a 39-year-old say, I'm 39 and a half going on 40, right? When you get into your teens and someone says, how old are you? The teenager will say, I'm going to be 16, just even though they've just turned 12. I remember one of my girls announced to me when she turned 10, she said, Daddy, today I am a preteen. Do you ever notice that you become 21, you turn 30? Ooh, what happened? It's like bad milk, right? He turned 30. You got to throw it out. Something's wrong with it. You become 21, you turn 30, you're pushing 40, you reach 50, you make it to 60, and then you're going so fast you hit 70. You get into your 80s, and then when you get into your 90s, you revert back to a child. I'm just 92, right? If you get to be 100, now you really go back. I'm 103 days. I'm 104 days. I'm 100, you know, you get the point. But the truth of the matter is we're all aging. We're all getting older. My firm conviction, it is a privilege to get older. It is a choice to get old. I know some people who are old and still in their 20s. They need to go to a retirement home for young people who are dead in the head. So I want to talk about something today. I don't want to talk about. I do not want to talk about this. But I'm going to. Because God said, if you don't talk about it, you're going to wake up dead. So I thought I'd talk about death. Right? I mean, there's only one reason I don't want to go to heaven. You got to die to get there. I mean, seriously. Does that not seem like a drawback to you? I'm like a lot of other Christians, so I'm going to be alive when the Lord comes back. Probably not. When's the Lord coming back? Probably not in our lifetime. Now, if he does, I will apologize to each one of you. Well, I was wrong. But I worry about death. I think about death. Because I don't want to die. When I get sick, I go to the doctor. But I like this old Spanish proverb that says, he who fears death cannot really live. That's true, isn't it? Until you get this settled, until you really look at it carefully and understand it's not as much of a mystery as we may think. I like 1 Corinthians 15. I put it in your outline. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That is a big, epic statement confined to little human words. Oftentimes I think we preachers, we teachers, really are at a disadvantage because we have these little bitty, paltry words that we're trying to scale these huge heights of glory and existence. So what I thought I would do today is we end this series, Fear Less, Live More. How you doing, by the way? Still in one piece. Good. Did I just, you know, I've done this and redone this and done this and have just not been happy with it because I don't want to come off as something ranting, raving, you're all going to die, going to burn, die or fry while we go to the sky. I didn't want to, you probably heard that. If you haven't, you just did. So I just thought I'd give you some observations about death. Number one, here is, I think, the American religious creed about death. If I don't think about it, it won't happen. There you go. If I don't think about death and don't talk death, la 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 la, it's like taxes. It is not April. La 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 la. All right. It's kind of like how I think some people think about God. I don't want to talk about God. It's not Sunday. You know, I just don't want to think about this. I don't want to talk about this. It's scary. I don't want it to remain in the realm of mystery. I don't want to think about death until I die. And that's dumb. You ought to be thinking about death before it happens so that you won't worry about it when it does happen, or at least the rest of us won't worry about you. I like what that great theologian Woody Allen said. You have to deny the reality of death to get up and go on every day. No. No, you don't. Listen to what the scriptures say, Ecclesiastes 7. A wise man or woman thinks much of death, while the fool thinks only of having a good time now. I mean, to remain ignorant about something that is as inevitable as death is dumb. Especially when there are things we can assert and know for sure about it. For example, what can I know about death? Death is the great equalizer. Charles de Gaulle said after World War II, France is filled with the graveyards of indispensable men. All of us are going to die. Rich, poor, smart, good-looking, bald, full of hair, head full of hair. I mean, this is the great equalizer, right? Somebody asked about a rich guy who died at his funeral. They were talking, looking at his casket, and said, well, how much do you think he left? He said, all of it. Amen. There are no U-Hauls behind hearses. Death is the great equalizer. We're all on level ground when it comes to it. All of us owe a death. One single death. It is appointed and a man wants to die, say the scriptures. Here's a third observation. Death will separate some. Now, here's why I prefaced the talk today, that I would try to tell you the truth. Because when it comes to this truth, if there's any temptation to massage the truth, for me, it would be here. Don't you dare go out of here and tell people, Dr. Foster believes in hell. I don't. That's why I do what I do. Is it a reality? Yes. But I don't believe in it. I'm not for it. For some, death is a separation. Listen to this. I could have listed 50 more verses. But for time and space, this will suffice. Those who do not wish to know God and who refuse to accept his plan to save them through the Lord Jesus Christ, they will be punished in everlasting hell, forever separated from the Lord, never to see the glory of his power. Now that's pretty clear, isn't it? Now you can reject it. You can say, I don't believe that. And most of us would fight right by you for your right to not believe that. Are you with me? But you don't have the right to redefine Christianity without that. That's my problem. There are a lot of preachers and teachers because they don't like the harsh reality that some people will be separated from God in eternity, simply say, well, you know what? God loves everybody, and God just, God was kidding. He didn't really say there was a hell. The cross was just an object lesson. Yeah, I'll get in. No, it doesn't work that way. Because you see, my sin against God must be adjudicated some way, dealt with, justified somehow. Let me give you an illustration. Let's say we leave out of here and I'm in a hurry to get to the barbecue place and I hit your car. And you're saying, oh, my, that's the pastor. And I stop, I get out, I say, oh, man, you know what? It was my fault. No doubt about it. I'm sorry. I was hungry. I wasn't thinking. Here's my insurance card. I want to make sure that you get your car fixed. And here's some cash. Here's $100 for just the trouble it's going to take you to call and take your car and stuff. And I make sure, you get your car fixed and it looks great. And then I come over and I say, man, I just want to make sure that you're happy. And by the way, and here's a Walmart card too. For another $200. Just to say I'm sorry. I just want to make this right. And you say, cool. Thank you, Dave. Oh, Pastor Dave, he's a pretty good guy. Now, I could hurt you. I could hurt your car, but I can make it right, right? And we can still be friends. We look back and say, well, you remember when that happened? That was really cool. That's when we started being friends. Now, when you or me sin against another human who is as temporary as we are you with me? As mortal as we are, we can make it right with them because we're two mortals making a moral deficit right. Are you with me? When I sin against God, here's me, here's God. How long will I live? 110 years. Okay, that's it. 110 years. How long will God live? Forever. So all of a sudden, there's mortal sinning against the immortal. My sin always takes on the nature of the one I sin against. Are you with me? And so my sin has now taken on not a mortal implication, but a what? Immortal, an eternal implication. The only thing I have to pay for that eternal sin or obligation or moral deficit is one thing, my soul. And so my soul goes in to payment through separation from God forever. You say, well, I don't believe that hell is forever. Okay, fine. I don't believe that hell is fire. Okay, fine. People say, I just don't believe in a God who would judge people. Well, you know what? It doesn't matter what you believe, does it? Come on. It doesn't matter what I believe. It matters what is true. This is what is true. This is my Father's world, right? It isn't yours. It isn't mine. So here stepped in God in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is God incarnate. So here's God the Father, eternal, right? God the Son, eternal. Here's David, mortal. Mortal. Owing a moral deficit to God who is eternal. And so here's God the Son coming over and laying his life, his sacrifice, his death and resurrection over the sin of my mortality, and his forgiveness, because he's eternal, takes on the nature of his nature. So his forgiveness is a forever forgiveness laid over my forever sin, coming up to a forever God, and he looks at me through Christ, and I am forever forgiven. Yeah. Woo-hoo-hoo! Praise God! Yeah, baby. I'm in the family because my sins have been judiciously dealt with. I have gotten justice, but Jesus Christ has paid my justice, and I've received grace. So you say, well, you know what? I don't believe that. I don't want that. I don't love Jesus Christ. Don't care about Jesus Christ. Don't care about all this hokey pokey religion, all this blood and death and guts and stuff. I want to live my way, live my life, die my life, live on my own, pull myself up by my own bootstraps. God says, fine. That's a really cool thing about God. God is a gentleman. You don't want to love God? Fine. But you will live in his eternity. And he says that those who face him without the merit of Jesus Christ must pay the second death. How about this? I saw a great white throne on him that sat on it, whose face the earth and heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. So there's two sets of books. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. The death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Let me try to explain quickly what that means. There are two sets of books. There's the book of life. And every person in all the world for all time who has bowed a knee and received Jesus Christ by faith as their Lord, God, and Savior is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And when I stand before God on that day, this will be a day of celebration. I will stand up and they'll say, David Foster. Not the one, not the guy from California, not the goober from California. You know the David Foster who does music? You know that guy? I met him one time, and he came up to me, and he said, are you David Foster? I said, yes, I am. He said, you're giving me a bad name. And I said, I think you've earned it all by yourself. Booyah! No hair on that story. But they won't have trouble identifying me in heaven, I'll tell you right now. Ball-headed David, that's the dude. They'll say, all right, Foster, what do you have to say for yourself? And I'll be nervous, and I'll say, well, and then all of a sudden there'll be a hand over my mouth, and this gentleman will step forward and say, he's with me. The books will be closed, and we'll go hand in hand. Because I will be hidden in Christ on that day. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and not only just for me, but anyone who will bow the knee and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You say, well, I don't understand it. Don't have to understand it. Well, I'm not good enough. Well, of course you're not. Well, I just shut up. Don't look a gift horse in the mouth, right? Say, yes, I'm in. He explained the rest of it to you later. Amen? Seriously. So, Lamb's Book of Life. Then there's another set of books. And when for those who stand and say, you know what, I'm here on my own. I have no Savior. I didn't believe in that crap. Another book will be open. Okay, here's your life. Here's the moral deficit. It got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And then you started trying to reform. Then you got a little bit better. Then you went to church. And then you became religious. And then it just came up. So what do you got to say for yourself? Nothing. Those people will be sent into the second death. You say, well, boy, that just, you know, because here's how we feel as Christians. At least I hope we do. I want everyone to go to heaven, don't you? I don't want anyone to go to hell. Why? I'm not for it. I'm against it. But you know what? At the end of the day, I don't make the rules. Neither do you. God wins. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. And there will be smoking in heaven. And Sarah lit up on a camel. I would just say this. There has to be a place in eternity because we can never not be. Once we became a living soul, we became eternal in our spirit. So we can never not be. But there has to be a place in the justice of God for those who want nothing to do with God. And there are plenty of those kind of people. Death will separate some. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, dude, I'm just handing you the table. You dress it the way you want to. Ain't no skin off my nose. I ain't got no dog in this hunt. Do I want you to go to heaven? Sure. But if you want to go to hell, go to hell. Huh? I'm slick. Sneaky. You know, I didn't mean that. I'm just kidding. No, I really did. Okay. Here's the next observation. While death will separate some, death will restore others. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and he himself and no other will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away all the tears from their eyes. No more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more shots. That's the Hebrew word for pain, right? Anybody here ever hate getting shots? I used to hate it. Oh, man, I hate it. Until I learned the key. Here's the key to no longer fearing shots. Watch. That's it. Watch. That's it. Watch. Every time you go... I watch now. I go, okay. They're right there. Right there. One try. That's it. I'm going to smack you if you hit it. Come on. Come on. And they said, is it in? It's in. Oh, is it in? It didn't hurt. No. Get it out. 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 I tell them, do all your preparation. Get all your insurance paid up. Everything before you stick me. You know, getting shot not that bad. If you're watching, you look at it and say, well, it's not that bad. It sticks a little bit. Right? No more pain, no sorrow, no sorrow. The order of the old things have passed away. A restoration. Death will be God putting us back on track, back to the place that he had in mind when he created us. Redemption, reconciliation, restoration. This is the atmosphere in which the spiritual man, the spiritual woman thrive. This is who we are. We have been redeemed by the death and life of Jesus Christ. God has moved and loved us and cared for us. And this is not a story that I invented this week in order to fill 30 minutes. This is a story that has been going on for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. Folks, we got history. This is a faith that has been once and for all delivered to the saints. And these are the things that we hold dear. We can offer the world salvation because we can offer them Jesus. Anyone can be forgiven. Anyone can start over. Everyone has hope. No one in this room or anywhere you've ever met is beyond the love and the grace of God. Amen? Isn't that good news? I don't have to judge anybody. I don't have to condemn anybody. I don't have to hate anybody. Thank God I don't have to save God, you, me, or the world. God's doing that all by himself. I just join him in this. Here's another observation. There will be a time of accountability. And just as is destined that men die only once, and after this comes the judgment. People have a hard time with this one. But a God who cannot call his creation to an accounting is not God, is he? If he created me and I'm the created, then he can hold me accountable for the stewardship of my life. Let me tell you how it works for a Christian. You are going to stand before God. The books are going to be open. And your name is going to be read. And when you step forward, Jesus Christ is going to step up and say, he's with me. She's with me. Then you're going to walk off. Then there's going to be another judgment at the judgment seat of Christ, where we now come across and God celebrates the faithfulness of our lives. And he says, man, when Sally met me, this is what the rest of her life looked like. And God will show the world our love and our sacrifice, the fact that we move forward when we are afraid, the fact that we love people, that we gave people cups of cold water in the name of Jesus nobody else ever knew. The fact that we love kids enough to go to kids' place, to the kids' gathering, and teach them about Jesus. Amen? That we cared, that we served, that we sacrificed, that we gave money and time and energy. So the church of Jesus Christ could have a full voice in a dark world. And then when that's through, God's going to reward us. He's going to give us crowns. And then he's going to bless us. So here, so let me get this straight. I'm going to go to a heaven I didn't earn. I'm going to get rewards that I don't deserve. And the whole world is going to celebrate a life that I thought nobody ever knew. This is a good deal. Even I know that's a good deal. The love of God has been lavished on us, and we don't yet know what we will be, but when we will be as he is. To be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen? Amen. So, this is how it works. When you die in Christ, you go straight to heaven. Heaven is a temporary place as it stands right now. It's been soiled by rebellion in the past. But you're going to go straight to heaven and be with Jesus. Your resurrected body is on its way. At the end of all things, when we stand before the judgment seats of God, our resurrected bodies and our redeemed souls are going to be reunited. And at some point, the Bible says that hell, the temporary place right now, and the grave, is going to be gathered up and thrown into the lake of fire, which is its eternal state. Then God is going to turn and take heaven and this earth, and the Bible says that I saw a new heaven and a new earth coming down. God is going to remake heaven and earth. He's going to reinvent and restore them. He's going to Home Depot and Lowe's. And he's going to make them, he's going to clean them all up and make them suitable for the eternal residence of redeemed, fractured, broken humanity. Yay, God. And it's going to be cool. Now, here's my personal belief. I want to muddy the waters enough to mess you up. I don't think I'll live on earth. I think I'll live in heaven. But I do think that earth, I'll have a free pass to come to earth anytime I want to. And I'm going to come to earth to, you know, bike. Ride my Harley or whatever it is you do on earth. We have free, I think we have free movement between both of them. If you really take all the scriptures teach, you get this idea that this thing is going to be bigger and better than any of us have ever imagined. Now, all that having been said, I have scratched the scratch of the scratch of the surface that all the scriptures teach about this subject. And since I don't have another hour and a half or 3 hours, let me end by saying this. With all I have said to you, I'm going to have to make this confession. I am not ready to go to heaven, but I am prepared. Are you with me? I'm not ready. I'd like it here. Yeah, but heaven's better. Really? Okay. Okay. I don't have anything to compare with. Do you? I like it here. I like barbecue. Can I hear an amen? I used to like football. Well, we'll just wait and see whether or not that'll be redeemed. You know, I like Harleys. I like being married to a good-looking woman. I like how she makes me look in public. They look at us together and says, bless her heart. She must be filled with mercy and compassion. I like having daughters. We celebrated Lindsay's birthday last night. I like getting together and celebrating and having fun. I love living. Amen? And I think when God's done with me, I'll probably love dying. And I have been in those cases where I prayed, oh God, the most merciful thing you can do is let this brother die. Amen? If you haven't been there, you will be one day. And at that moment, this gift of absolute certainty about what is beyond the veil will be the most precious thing God has ever given you. I am not ready, but I am prepared. I love Hebrews 6. It's not in your outline. The certain hope of being saved is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls, connecting us with God behind the curtain. Questions I have? I had one question and I took it out because I think it's frivolous, but I'll at least tell you what it is. One of the questions I have about death is, will it hurt? Do you ever think of it? I just think, I don't want it to hurt. Well, I just read to you, oh death, where is thy sting? Death won't hurt. Then it might in the last two or three, you may go, ha! It's like, or, whoa! Hiccup! Should have got, you know. But here are two questions I do have. Will I be better off, Lord? Will I be better off? This is out of the Message, 2 Corinthians 5. For instance, we know that when these bodies of ours are taken down like tents and folded away, they will be replaced by resurrection bodies in heaven. God-made, not handmade. And we'll never have to relocate our tents again. Sometimes we can hardly wait to move. And so we cry out in frustration. Compared to what's coming, living conditions around here seems like a stopover in a shack. That's pretty cool, right? Here's the second question I have. Can I be sure? Can I be absolutely, positively sure I'm going to heaven when I die? And I want to tell you unequivocally, without doubt, absolutely, yes. Yes, you can know. Jesus said, I'm the resurrection, the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never, never die. Do you believe this? Yes. Yes. I believe that Jesus Christ is my God and my Messiah. Do I understand everything about him? Sure I do. No, I don't. When I say that I love Jesus, I'm telling you that I am a learner and a struggler. He surprises me every day. But I'm telling you that I put all of my faith and all of my hope on the proposition that Jesus Christ, my Savior, got up from the dead and offers me that same power. And this is the record that God has given us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things I've written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Anyone, anywhere, at any time, no matter how eloquent, erudite, sophisticated, and accomplished they may sound, who tells you that you can't know for sure that you're going to heaven is lying to you. Are you hearing me? Lying to you. Anyone who says, well, we can't be sure, we can just hope for the best. Lie! Lie, 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 lie. I'm here to tell you, you can know, you ought to know, and I wouldn't spend another half a day in my life until I found a corner someplace and got on my knees and said, Jesus Christ, all of you, I understand, I give all of me, you can take. Amen. Yeah. I love what Socrates said, death may be the greatest blessing of all. Amen. When we know something better is waiting, we can say amen. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you would take the truth of your word, the truth of your proclamation, the truth of the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, and drive it deep into our soul. I pray for those who want to believe but find it so hard to just take that leap. Father, I pray for those who've been hurt and abused by religion, and they've let that hurt obscure the hope that is in Jesus Christ. I pray in Jesus' name, you will save those who are so close to heaven, that you will come into the heart of those who've been so hurt and they put a curtain over their soul. I pray that you'll rip it apart and enter in and love them back to life. Lord, don't let any of us be lost. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Go get it.